1 and 2, Romans chapter 12, if you're able to stand. I'm going to do a little series on separation. And, you know, God wants to fill us with His Spirit that we may serve Him and be used of Him. And if God wants to use you, let Him use you. Amen. But we need His help. We need His Holy Spirit's filling. And if we're going to have that, then we need to be separated. We need to be clean. The word separation means set apart. And so that's what this is. I don't know how far we get tonight, but we'll continue on Wednesday night. Oh, by the way, starting this Sunday, we are going to pick up where we left off and start going through the Bible. And so verse by verse, expositional, and we're going to be over in Hosea. Sunday night, and we're going to be in the ABCs of Christian Growth for Sunday school, but during the church service, we're going to start the book of John, and we'll start there, and we got all the way up through to these minor prophets in the Old Testament, so that will take a while, but hey, I'm looking forward to finishing it with the Lord's help, amen. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's talk about this subject for a little bit. Separation. Let's read out loud 1 and 2. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray together, church. Father, we are thankful that we can open your word and hear from you tonight. And Lord, I'd ask that you speak to hearts, speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for laying this on my heart. And I pray that we would leave here being a more separated people, more clean in your eyes, Lord, not to gain salvation, but Lord, to serve you more and serve you better and to let our light shine. And so we trust you, Lord, for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you'll back up to Jeremiah chapter 6, many of you know this passage. In verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6, we'll look at a lot of verses, and I'll try to have you out on time because I know many of you work, and I appreciate you coming from work, some of you, and you've worked hard all day, and I know the kids need to get to school, so we'll try to be sensitive to your time. Verse 16, I invite your attention. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So, you know, it's not my job to make you happy. I hope you're happy. But more than happy, I hope you're joyful. Amen. Because happiness is based on circumstances in this life and things. But joy comes from the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so if you don't know me, if you're new to me, I'm an old-time religion guy. Can I get an amen? Right there. You're going to be criticized for no matter what you do. So you might as well be criticized for being a conservative preacher. And so that's me. I like the old time way. I think there's a song written about that. But okay, let's go over here to 1 Peter. In the New Testament. I don't have anybody in mind tonight, so I'm not trying to straighten you out. If I were, I guess it's biblical because the Bible tells preachers to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But really, I have no one in mind except pleasing the Lord tonight. And I want us to be a brighter light. I want us to be, this is it, I want us to be filled with the Spirit of God more. Amen. And He commands us, and be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye what? Filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, I'm talking to all of us, we need to be clean. And we need to be empty. Because you take a pitcher, if it's full, you can't pour any more into it. So we need to be humble. We need to be clean. And 1 Peter 2:9, let's see where the verse is. 2:9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's see. Oh, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, what's that word peculiar mean? It means different. It means an identity, the direction you're going. And so, it's kind of hard in the days we live, brothers and sisters, to tell a Christian from a non-Christian, you know. But we're to have a bright light. And I think we are to be different. We are to be peculiar. We were in Romans. I don't know if you put your bulletin or your ribbon in Romans, but the word separation, it means to be separated to the Lord. Separated to the Lord. Unto Christ. Unto the Lord. And away from the world. Let's go back there real quick in Romans 12. So unto the Lord, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. What's the next two words? So we're to be separated, sanctified, holy, unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be ye not conformed like a jello mold to this world. It's not talking about the actual planet, but the world system, which is of the devil. Amen. And so be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed like a caterpillar. Is the illustration there. It turns into a beautiful butterfly. And when a person gets saved, they begin to change, don't they? And you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm still talking about separation. Now this topic is not often received very well. You get into some areas of separation, and Christians who really love the Lord, you know, they take it. And a wise man taketh rebuke. And I believe a wise woman, she will hear the Word of God and see the Word of God and the will of God, and she'll follow the Word of God. And guess what? When we all do that, we're happier, we're more joyful, because we're obedient to the Lord. Amen. But we should see it in Scripture. Now, I told you what Ephesians 5:18 says. It says, and be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We all need a fresh filling. You're indwelt by the Spirit once, but you're filled with the Spirit many times. It's like your gas tank on your car or truck has to be filled up many times. Seems like it's getting more expensive, doesn't it? And but we need, in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, to continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. A vessel doesn't have to be an expensive vessel, but it does need to be a clean vessel. And you say, well, who's looking? Well, God's looking, number one. But our testimony does matter. We are living epistles, the Bible says, read of all men. And whether you know it or not, you may be the only Jesus somebody sees, or the only open Bible that somebody sees. And people are watching in the neighborhood. They're watching everywhere. So may the Lord help us to be Spirit-filled. How do you know you're Spirit-filled? Well, one reason we can know is through our witnessing. Through our witnessing. And when you're filled with the Spirit, church, and I'm filled with the Spirit, You don't have to try to be a witness. You automatically will be. Because that's just what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And you know when you're filled with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of these, because those are the fruits of the Spirit. And when you're saved and you're actually filled with the Spirit, then you will want to tell others about Christ, and you'll be effective because the Holy Spirit's working through you. And a lot of times people get saved because of that. We have to be thirsty. Go to Isaiah 44:3. Are you thirsty tonight for the filling of the Holy Spirit? Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. I love that verse. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And so are you thirsty for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? I said before, we must be emptied, cleaned out. And here's another thing. If we want the filling of the Holy Spirit to be separated, to live a separated life, we must be obedient to the Lord. Is there something that He's asking you to do or asking me to do? Then we need to go ahead and obey and submit to the Lord. We get filled from the bottom shelf, not the top shelf. We get filled with the Holy Spirit when we humble ourselves, brothers, sisters in Christ, young people. God, He doesn't like pride. Some folks are just too proud. Amen. And so we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We need to keep praying. Go to Acts chapter 4. We are not going to get through with this, but we'll pick it back up, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Acts chapter 4. What happened when they prayed? And that's one sign of a separated Christian is prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was what? Shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. You know, we had a good time today working around here at the church and just being busy and getting a lot done. But you know the best part of the day, David? It's when we knelt there at that altar. That was the best part of all day today. And you know what? We get to come together and pray one with another. Husbands, you ought to pray with your wives. Wives, you ought to pray with your children. Husbands, children. I mean, just pray, keep praying without ceasing. And when we do that, then that's part of being separated and also filled with the Spirit. We ought to die to self and exalt the Lamb of God. Paul said, I die daily, and when we're dead, we can't be offended. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Sometimes we do offend people. Hey, sometimes Jesus offended people, right? People will be offended a lot of times, but we don't need to hold on to it because Jesus forgave us. Amen. And so die to self. Somebody was apologizing to me Sunday. Oh, I'm so sorry. But listen, hey, it doesn't affect a dead man. You can have a funeral, have a body in the casket. You can go and pinch him, talk to him, cuss him out, whatever. That's not good, but he's not going to respond to you. And Paul said, I die daily. We need to die to this old self and exalt the Lamb of God. We need more joy. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, that's a verse on separation. A lot of times Christians don't want to hear that verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul said, there's some things I just don't do because it's not right. And there's some things it just may not look right or whatever. But we're to abstain from these things in our life that are evil. We're living in a world that is rapidly declining, not only morally, but spiritually, and yes, ethically. People don't want to keep their word anymore. And so that's the kind of world we live in. It's hard to tell the Christians apart from non-Christians. Like I said, there's three Bible words of separation that really have the same meaning. Sanctification means to set apart, separation, and holiness. Separated to the Lord. To the Lord. Go to 1 Peter 1 and separated from the world. 1 Peter 1, 14. First Peter 1, 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So to Christians tonight, these are believers. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy, set apart, separated, is what this is meaning, in all manner of conversation. I want to tell you tonight, our testimony matters. Because it is written, let's read this last phrase here, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what the Bible says. So many other verses in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You see, when we're not separated, we can offend the Lord. What are some areas of personal separation? Well, our eyes. Go to Psalm, the book of Psalm. Got to guard that eye gate. Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Look at that verse, folks. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You see, God sees it, doesn't He? We have to be so careful. Brother Roloff, who's one of my favorite preachers ever, he's in heaven. He went down in a plane crash. He used to say, you parents wouldn't take a bag of rattlesnakes and throw them out before your kids. But that's what you're doing by letting them watch some things on television. And folks, that was years ago. How much more we've declined since he passed away. You wouldn't put a bunch of wild rattlesnakes around your babies. People let young people have televisions in their room, no monitoring, no checking on them. Let them have the social media in their room. I saw a principal, a doctor lady on the news this morning, and the whole high school did away with cell phones. People are talking to each other. People reading, people playing, teenagers playing games together. All their grades went up. It's miraculous because they took out the cell phones. They lock them up. They won't let them have it. They found another way, and it's working. I'm telling you, we got to be careful what we set before our eyes. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and see people? They don't look at each other. They don't talk to people. They don't look at their eyes. They just stay on their phones the whole time. When you come to church, turn that thing off. Don't even take it. I don't take my cell phone to church. They can wait. Amen. I tell people, turn it off unless God is calling. But Job 31. Back up one book. Job 31. We're almost done for tonight. We'll pick it back up next week on separation. But Job 31. Where are you, Job? There he is. Job 31, verse 1. I think. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Verse 7. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You remember Satan in the book of Isaiah. He had eye trouble. It was pride, right? I want to be like the Most High. I want to do this. It's eye problem. What got Eve in trouble? She looked, and then she took. she ate, her eyes. And so I'm talking about separation. Television, Hollywood movies. We ought not support that crowd, right? Hollywood movies. That culture. There's a lot of wicked stuff on there. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight, but these horoscopes and witchcraft, the occult. I'm talking about on not only television, Hollywood movies, but the social media and the websites and pornography and the chat rooms. I've never been on a chat room. I've never had Facebook. We need to get our face in this book. That's what we need to do. Internet, ungodliness, pervertedness, and filth. And so may the Lord help us. In the places we allow ourselves to go, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so we need to watch where we go, watch what we see in front of our eyes, and be so careful what we wear. And it's time. I'll pick it up next week. It's time, Brother Robert, come. But do we dress like the world? And the Bible talks about this fashion, how the fashion of this world will pass away. You know, it's amazing. Some adults and some kids, they go with these trends, don't they? These styles. And someone said, well, they used to have real thin ties and they used to have real big ties. If you just hang on to it, it'll come back around. The fashions of this world used to be bow ties. And the fashion of this world will pass away. And some of the things that you see in Walmarts and places as you go, and it's just, a lot of it's just pure wickedness, right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And God wants His children to be different, to be peculiar, to be filled with the Spirit, to be, hey, separated as unto the Lord, not of this world. Deuteronomy 22, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are, and we don't like to hear this word, abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's something you can't even look upon, church. I don't care if it's a women's basketball team and they're, I'm just going to say it, they're trying to be something they're not, Romans chapter 1. It's abomination. A man with a man and a woman with a woman. And they're cross-dressing. There's only two genders, male and female. And God meant one man for one woman for one lifetime. That's the way God's purpose and His original plan was. If I came in here in a dress, y'all would run out of here. And I don't blame you. Brother Pedro, he would arrest me probably. He would handcuff me if I came in here with a dress. Hey, you know what? It's abomination to God. I'm talking about separated in our Christian walk and in our speech, and we'll be done. What we say, let our speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. People say, well, I got liberty. Man, I'm almost finished. I only got one more page. I might as well finish it, huh? Liberty. Well, we're saved, Brother Adolfo, but we have liberty. But not liberty to sin, to the flesh. Romans 6:1. Shall we continue in sin that God forbid, that's what he says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And so we do have liberty and freedom in Christ, but we're still to obey the Lord and His verse. You say, what am I supposed to do? This wonderful book, this is a blessed book right here. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119, 105. If you don't know what the Bible says, or if you don't know which direction to go, get in this. It'll help you. It'll give you the answers. For we, brethren, Galatians 5:13, for we, brethren, have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so I'll just leave you with this. If you're not sure, ask yourself this question: what's more holy? What's more right? Righteous, holiness. What does God say about it? What's more separated? What would Jesus do? Ask yourself this: can I take the Lord there and have a peace about it? Can I take the Lord into that place? It's like Brother back here was saying, I like these old shows, these old black and white shows and things. They weren't as bad back in then, those days. Some of them were probably, but you know, you'd be better off with Andy Griffith. Okay. And so be careful, little eyes, what you see. Let's stand together.